Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
April's doing this new thing where I noticed she was really looking nice every day. She's always wearing like different sort of flowery dresses and stuff, and like summer dresses, tons of under $10 dresses that I've never seen before. So finally I asked her after a few weeks, I'm like, you look great every day. I just, how do you do it? Like, is something changed in terms of, cause she was always wear like ratty sort of sweats around the house, that kind of thing.
Really?
And yeah. You know, at night, maybe she'd dress up a tiny bit, but she's pretty casual, which is fine. She's a beautiful lady, no matter how she dresses. Right.
She's but I just noticed a beautiful lady with disgusting sweatpants.
Yeah, but I basically said, you know, are you seeing somebody else? And
is that really what
no,
you said?
No, I didn't. I just go. You seems like even in the morning, you seem like you're really. I mean, dressed up. I just was curious what's going on. And she's like, oh, I've got this technique that I used to use in high school. You know, she went to an all girls school, where they like would wear a uniform and they just sleep in their uniform. She goes, what I'm doing is I'm putting on a dress every night and I sleep in it. And then I just wake up the next day and they're super comfortable anyway. And now I've got it on the rest of the day. And I mean,
she puts a dress on.
Yeah,
to go
she
to
wears
sleep.
A dress. She sleeps in a dress.
I think that's amazing. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Pajamas. I'm wearing a pajama
so
shirt.
So I wanted to talk to you about it because you mentioned pajamas. Yeah, tell me your pajama theory.
I never really wore them because I just thought, hey, it's comfortable. I'll just wear boxers and a shirt, you know? And then for a long time, I just wore boxers to sleep. And then there was a time when I would sleep in the nude, but Kate, she called the police. She threatened to kick me out of the house.
Yeah.
She just always wears pajamas. So she said to me, you know, I want to get you some pajamas. I think I said, oh, okay, whatever. I don't care. And once I started wearing them, I never stopped.
Even on stage. I mean, you have some.
I might wear.
Are you
going
to wear that tonight?
I might. Who knows? Who can stop me?
I don't think there's anybody that could stop you from doing that. That's
not
the beauty
one
of
person.
It.
That's why stand up is the best.
Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about the headlining spot. You can wear whatever you want.
You can wear whatever you want. I think as a feature, you can wear a lot of different things.
You can, but
you can't look goofy.
I did know a guy that was actually, there were a couple guys I worked with over the years that got in trouble for wearing shorts on stage.
Oh, there was a guy that opened for me in Calgary.
Yeah.
And he wore shorts on stage.
And yeah, and that's more, he didn't get in trouble for it, did he?
I gave him so much shit. I don't think I only performed in shorts once, but I like publicly called him out on Instagram. It was disgusting. We couldn't believe it. He said, well, I got a stain on my pants.
Yeah.
They were like sweat shorts. They were like WWF. I mean, it was amazing, but he had a lot going on. But the only time I've ever worn shorts on stage is Labor Day. Of, I believe this last year, Memorial Day, because I was wearing them to like barbecues.
Yeah.
And I did a set at the Stand.
So you don't feel that wearing shorts on Memorial Day is disrespectful to our.
Disrespectful?
Solid. Disrespectful.
Disrespectful to our fallen Folgers. Folgers is the best part of your waking up. This is a fallen soldier in your cup.
Yeah.
It's a really big cup. So, and all I did the whole set was about how I never wear shorts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that And I was making fun of the fact that I was wearing shorts and other comedians who've worn shorts. I would never perform in shorts. I think it's so disrespectful. Do you think so? Just the look of it is just like, you don't, there's no way to wear them and look like you care. The only way I could do that is if I wore my Bermuda suit, which is like a matching suit, but with shorts instead of pants.
Yeah.
That's what they wear in Bermuda because it's so hot, but they have a lot of formal fun. Or I had a Ranger Jones outfit made into a tuxedo from Yogi Bear 3D. I think I could get away with wearing that on. Yeah.
I wore a football shirt overseas for a month.
Really?
Because I figured just bring one shirt on this trip, have it be red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
And wear a football shirt on stage, right?
And
I was wearing a Drew Bledsoe number 11 jersey, red, white, and blue.
Right.
And Drew Bledsoe, I don't know if you know, he played for the Patriots. But I wore it every single night for a month overseas, Japan, a bunch of different places.
Right.
And a lot of nights people would come up and say, hey, do you like the Bills? And I'd be like, nah, I don't really like the Bills that much. I'm not a big Bills fan, but, you know, I know of them. You know, I didn't know why people were asking that. I got home from my trip and I looked at it and it was a Bills Drew Bledsoe jersey that I had been wearing for a month. And I thought I was wearing a Patriots jersey.
Oh, because everybody would come up to you after the shows because they've all seen you in it. Oh, that's hilarious.
So they were, and so I was confused for a month. I was like, wow, I wonder why I was asking these Bills questions. Never occurred to me I was wearing a Bills jersey. They were both red, white, and blue. He played for both teams. And I never put it together that people were asking me that for a month, Bills questions, that I was actually wearing a Bills jersey on stage.
That is so
that's
funny.
My wardrobe. Story.
Well, and you know, so what I was going to say is that, so Kate bought me some pajamas. I started wearing them and I love it. I don't know what it is, but also getting dressed to go to bed helps you sleep better.
You think so?
No, it's clinically proven. But if you have routines or rituals.
Do you think it's, when you say something's clinically proven, do you feel that makes it true?
Oh yeah. They do it in a clinic.
It's true.
No, I mean, you know.
Have they done studies?
Yeah, man. I'll look it up right now. Look at this.
No, I believe you.
Does having a bedtime routine.
Oh, routine, definitely.
Make for better sleep.
No, I think that's definitely true. They say sleep or sex. It's that's the only things you should do in bed. So I sleep a lot.
Home run. Give it to the Buffalo Bills Bledsoe. Here we go.
Number 11.
So yeah, so I definitely, wait, so did you know the person?
I'm a man, I'm 40.
Yeah. Okay, what?
We talked about that on the podcast.
What is that, bro?
That's a coach who is like defending himself and his in-game decisions. He's like, look it up on YouTube. I'm a man, I'm 40.
I got to see that.
One of my favorites. All right,
so this just reminded me.
Yeah.
No, so you get ready to go to bed. It's true.
Yeah, no, I have read
that. I still like watching movies in bed.
Yeah.
But I've started to stop doing that. Anyway, on the way over here, I offered to get you some hot chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
I said, do you want some hot chocolate? So that really would be good. And I said, you know what? Let's both get it on the way over to the club.
Yeah, the show. Yeah.
I think it's a good plan, right?
Yeah.
So the woman that was working there, this girl. So I go to her. I go, okay, what time? How late are you guys open? And she goes, I don't know. And I said, what? And she goes, I don't know that. I wouldn't know that. I said, how could you don't know what time you get off work?
Yeah.
What frustrated me is she couldn't even say like, oh, it's pretty flexible around here. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes when not a lot of people are downtown, we kind of close early.
Yeah.
Or I don't know, you know, the guy's kind of flighty, so he might close like in an hour, or, you know, if there's a lot of people, there's none of that. It was just, I don't know. I don't know when we close. I'm not sure how long I'll be here.
That's gotta be hard for her.
It was like a trap.
Yeah.
It was like she was trapped.
Yeah.
I was concerned for her health.
That would be hard. You know, she needs a...
Everyone's concerned about her health. I'm concerned about her well-being.
Yeah.
Her physical, but more importantly, her mental
well-being. You know, speaking of well-being and mental health, I did an experiment before you came in here. I said the word suicide. And you see, none of the technology cares about me when I say suicide. They're just basically really asking me to commit suicide.
So, yeah,
when he said it earlier today, when TJ said it, his phone actually spoke out and said, please don't do it. You know what? I think it's strange. I kind of hate it when my different type of computers or things like it act like we're friends. I put some money in the ATM recently. On the screen, it said, see you again soon. You know, as if we're in some type of relationship now. You know? I don't think
It's a little presumptuous, I think, is what you're trying to say, and I agree.
Like, because now I have to worry about the feelings of my ATM machine, or if I've insulted my ATM machine by not responding.
You're afraid if you go back, it's going to be, hey, where have you been?
Yeah, what's been going on?
What's happening? You haven't reached out.
Yeah, and it hasn't been soon.
It's been a while, Cash Levy. Go ahead and put your pin in, but just know you're pressing my buttons in a completely different way. This is ATMM on CNBC, Chase Banking.
Yeah. So you wore pajamas in Calgary.
All right.
Yeah.
So that's the guy.
Yeah.
Right. Who wore shorts on stage. So disrespectful. I'll never work with him again. It's just like once I had a guy opening for me who was just hilarious. And he's so, so funny. I think you may know him, but he's a juggler. And he brought his 6-foot unicycle. And he said, you know, if you don't want me to use it, I get that. And then on the last show, I was like, you know what? You can go ahead and do the unicycle. I was like, okay. And because he juggles knives on the unicycle.
Yeah.
So I said, all right, that'll be funny. I can talk about it afterwards. He does his closer from like his headlining show.
Yeah.
And the closer is he gets on he rides a big wheel and then jumps like a roll of toilet paper. And then he puts on a helmet that has firecrackers on the top of it. And then he lights all the firecrackers. And then he gets on a 6-foot unicycle. And he has somebody throw a knife to him.
Yeah.
And he has two other knives. And so somebody throws a knife to him. And he starts juggling knives while there's fireworks going off on a helmet on his head. Yeah. And he's on a 6-foot unicycle. And then he closes and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, TJ Miller. What the fuck am I supposed to do? It was the most ridiculous. I came out and I was like, I don't know what to tell you guys. I didn't know that was going to happen, but there's really nothing I'm going to do throughout this show that is going to be as exciting as what you just saw.
Yeah. When we started working together, the first thing I did is pull my firecracker unicycle closer people don't throw me knives for mine. They throw me babies and I juggle babies while fireworks go off. It's very, but I don't do that closer with you. For one thing, there aren't as many babies as, you know, coming to your shows as most comedians. Most comedians have tons of babies in the crowd. I don't know if you realize that. You seem to draw adult human beings.
I used to do baby material, but the problem is that adults just don't appreciate. Here, I'll do one of the jokes.
Okay. Yeah.
So the punchline obviously and the babies love it.
Yeah. I mean,
the adults just don't get it.
I understood the first part, but then you lost me.
Babies love that stuff, man. That's a classic. And I didn't want to do a really dirty one like that. But babies kind of like dirtier humor.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
They really do.
And of course, the title of that joke in adult American English would be Ass Wrecker.
Hey, I got to tell the Calgary story now that we've
We did the Calgary thing short on stage. Coming full circle. Pajamas to bed.
To bed or a dress. So I'm in Calgary. And, you know, after the show.
I'm excited about that.
There's a sports bar next to the club. And after the show, this very attractive young lady comes up to me. It's very flirtatious. Now, again, I'm married. I talk about it on stage. I don't really give out any, I'm not. I don't.
You're just not going to get nasty
yeah,
with
it. Yeah, exactly. I'm not as nasty as I want to be. Right.
Yeah, that's kind of true in this case.
Exactly. Yeah.
We joke about that a lot, but I guess in this instance, you're not as nasty as you want to
but
be.
But I don't think I'm throwing out those vibes. But she came up. She's very, very flirtatious. She was with an English friend of hers.
Did she do that thing where she's flirting Englishman. With you and she just kept like leaving her mouth open?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
Did she have her mouth open at all?
Sometimes she did to breathe and
yeah,
to talk.
Yeah.
And to talk.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that'd be, oh, yeah.
She was
you
into
know what?
It.
You know what? It's on.
It's on.
It's on. Like Donkey Kong. So,
all right, like
so she said, are you going to stay around? I said, well, I am going to watch this game next door. And, you know, she goes,
she
well, I'll see you over there.
She has a saucy English friend.
She, yeah. And I said, well, I'll see you next door. So I went next door and I sat down, started watching the game. And she and her friend sat down with me.
Right.
And started to talk to me. And she was very flirtatious. And, I was enjoying hanging out with her and her friend. We had a drink. We're watching the game.
Right.
And then she went to the, and I could kind of tell she was kind of into it. I mean, it's
really,
pretty, yeah. And
her
know.
Friend was sort of, was she joking a lot or she was just saucy? What was she sort of like talking like this? Like
she was
saying,
just kind of grabbing my
she'd
arm
be
a
interesting.
Lot. Oh,
no,
oh the saucy
woman,
friend?
Yeah.
She kind of came and went. It was interesting. She was looking for.
She was sort of letting
own,
the two of you
yeah,
get
yeah,
to know each
yeah.
other.
But I'm watching
she,
the game.
Let's hear some demographics
yeah,
really quickly.
Yeah.
Well, how old is she?
The girl that was, well, they were both probably around, I'd say they were about 30, maybe 25. 30s.
Okay.
Something like that. Late 20s.
Late 20s, early
like
30s. Okay. And what color hair did this, the pursuant, the one pursuing?
Dark hair.
She who pursues,
yeah.
I think is what we should call
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
So she had dark hair.
Yeah.
And what color were her eyes?
I don't know.
I was interested to see if you would, you know, how much were you paying attention to this woman?
Yeah.
Do you usually remember the eye color of women?
Sometimes, not always.
I don't. They have to be really stunning blue or very dark black.
Yeah.
You know, a demon sort of look.
A
demon black
look.
Eyes, no pupils, just.
Exactly.
You're going to come upstairs with me? And so. But she was very cute, right?
She was very attractive.
How
in
tall
fact,
was she?
She was probably, I'm not that tall. I'm about 5'6". She was taller than me.
5'8"?
I'd say she was about 5'8". She was in great shape. She was really fun to talk to.
That was going to be my next question. Was she funny at all?
She was fun to talk to, and if I wasn't married, I think I would have stayed longer. But here's what happened.
Yeah, so let's hear. But I want people to get
she
a clear
picture
of her. She
goes to the restroom, and her friend turned to me and said, you know, when you were gone, because I went to get some, there's a popcorn machine. I don't know if you've seen it there.
Yeah, I love
bar.
It.
Yeah.
I love it. And also that bar is directly adjacent.
To the club.
Like people go into the club, and when they leave the club, they're in the Blackfoot Hotel Tavern.
So her friend, or I went to get popcorn, so I guess they talked. And then I probably stopped and talked to a few other people, came back to the table. She went to the bathroom, and her friend said, her saucy English friend said, my friend wants to have sex with you. If that's something you're interested in, I'm just letting you know. That's what she's wanting.
Isn't that amazing that while you were gone, her friend was like, I really want to have sex with him.
Yeah.
And then the saucy English friend is like, don't worry, I'll tell you.
You know what? I didn't even tell you this part, and we may cut it because it's just too crude. But she also then said she wants to sit on your face. She said that. The saucy English
and do you think
woman.
She's serious? Was there any part of her that you thought was joking?
No, because you had been. This girl was really.
Yeah,
flirtatious.
I was going to say.
You can kind of tell.
Yeah, yeah. She knows. You know.
You know.
You know.
And so the reason I'm telling you this story is
when
not,
she came back, how did you feel?
Well, I already kind of. I was pretty sure that's what was really happening anyway. You know,
right.
I was already sort of. I brought up my kids. I brought up my wife. Didn't seem to be affecting things much.
Wow.
I even had said something about how much I love my wife, and nothing was really going to dissuade her. She was into it.
Wow.
Now look, I'm not telling this story.
That must have kind of,
I'm
know,
not telling this story to brag.
No, but
this does not happen very often.
Have you seen my bit where I talk about Kate saying, what if other girls try and sleep with you while you're on the road?
No.
I'm kind of opening with that now.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I wear two wedding rings, which is the max amount of wedding rings that you can wear, which is true. And then Kate said, well, that doesn't matter. Some women see that as a challenge.
Maybe that's what it was.
So I think there was some of that in it too, that it was kind of a fantasy of hers to sleep with someone in show business, a married man, kind of be a homewrecker. The problem is okay. Wait,
so let me just say, I was wearing a really nice looking shirt that night.
And you had iron marks all over those pants.
Oh yeah. Old iron pants.
And I also had stuff on the bottom of my feet. I called them shoes. And so I was wearing genuine
kangaroos. Was your nose and eyes ever erect?
Yeah.
Did your nose
get
erect?
The whole thing. So the thing is, I was like, I mean, the streak is alive.
Can I just tell you what?
But I had to do the math.
Really quickly.
Yeah.
If she, by the virtue of the logic that I had in the previous episode, if she were to sit on your face, you guys would be having sex.
Because
your dick is a nose.
Yeah.
And your balls are your eyes. Unbelievable.
So
all right,
if she,
sorry.
So bottom line.
So this doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. It doesn't happen very often at all anymore. And, you know, I don't put out that vibe. And also, you know, I'm an unsightly figure.
I think that's a big part of it.
But I'm extremely virile. And I think they sense that about me. In any event,
she said, viral.
So we said goodnight, and I was walking up, and I was just kind of doing the math. There was never a percentage of a chance I was going to go ahead with anything with this girl. But I was doing the math, and if you really think about the math, it's a pretty logical situation. If you make these decisions before they happen to you, nothing bad's going to happen. Because if you do the math, it's probably, I was thinking about it. I'm like, okay, if we were to go upstairs, that's what, maybe one 30-minute session.
You said two 30-minute sessions the first time you told me about
this. Okay, 30-minute sessions in the first night. Maybe a second 30-minute session the next day, because they always come back for more. But
they come crawling back.
But that's
get that
it.
Sweet, so, sweet cash nose.
So what you're trading is, you're trading an hour
and
a half.
Fondle the eyes.
Yeah.
Fondle the eyes. Kiss the nose.
What you're trading, you do the math, it's an hour and a half of guilt-ridden pleasure even in the moment, and then it's a lifetime of regret. Now, that the math doesn't add up. That's the problem.
I was thinking about this, actually, during the last podcast, and I didn't mention it because I was waiting for this, but I'm reminded that part of it is men who cheat on their wives, I think, once they've cheated once and they break the seal, then they've got to cheat again because they're like, well, I'm already lying to her.
Absolutely.
So I might as well have another one of these nights where it feels good. And then afterwards, because the thing that happens is you're in your mind, tell me if I'm wrong, you in your mind are sort of thinking, you kind of love that she has her own morals. She does what she wants. She uses her body in the way that she wants to use it. And she wants to have sex with you tonight. And she's cute. And she's telling her saucy English friend to let you know that after you got popcorn, she wants you to pop her corn. Oh, boy. Now I'm really on. But I think, you know, so that's very attractive, too. But I think you're absolutely right. And then I think, you know, I never get this because the same thing, I don't leave that vibe. I talk about Kate on stage. I'm married. Now I do that disclaimer in the beginning kind of about other women coming after me. So now I'm never going to. But you have to be pretty bold to say to a celebrity like, so what are you doing after this? Do you want to hang out? I know you're married, but what's the word? It kind of makes me giggle that like the chances, there is a chance, but the chance that you're going to perform in bed in a way that she isn't disappointed is also because it's the first time you're having sex with this person. And so I just think about that a lot, that it's like you, and it's the last time you're having sex with a person. You're right. If you're somewhere, it's a weekend maximum. You're going to have sex 3, maybe 4 times.
So you're saying an affair is a better idea. Is that what you're saying? An affair?
Something
long-term,
consistent.
Something
yeah.
more consistent.
No, I think that there's a weird thing too, where it's like, there's so much sexual tension and so much buildup and so much pursuit and it's so ingrained in us. And the second you both have an orgasm, it's gone. Afterwards, the guy immediately is like, oh shit, what am I doing? And the girl, I think, you know, I can't speak for this, but the girl immediately is like, oh, that was so nice. What does he think of me?
Yeah.
Is he emotionally connected to me? How do I? So then you're leading up to letting her down is essentially what?
And then forever you have this secret.
And I was going to say, you've talked about this, that April said, don't ever.
Tell me. She said, if you ever cheat, be a man and keep it to yourself. Because you you carry that to the grave. Because don't unload your soul on me because you feel guilty.
Yeah.
And I agree with her. I think you have that obligation if you were to do that sort of thing. And because you're not relieving your guilt on somebody else to make her feel better.
Yeah, you're doing it to make yourself.
So you're actually hurting.
We've heard about that.
Yeah,
I think it's great. And I think
that's
Kate,
a good theory.
I think what's interesting is Kate, I think, would... It would be best if I spoke with her about it beforehand, which I've done in the past. Yeah. I talked to her. Yeah. I've told the story in the podcast, but I said to her, look, this woman wants to sleep with me.
Yeah.
And I was in my early 20s.
Yeah.
And I just want to talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Because you're my best friend and I love you more than anybody. And she kind of said, well, if it's something you're going to regret not doing, then I think you should do it. It's not going to make me happy. Obviously, I don't want you to do it, but... And it was such great reverse psychology because immediately I was like, I would never cheat on a woman who's this amazing. Once you open that up.
Yeah.
Okay. And even if you don't tell them, but they can sense that you're sort of keeping, that's when on their end, when guys like the guy that approached April, the gas station, saying,
so that's
I'll give
happened.
You 50 bucks,
you
know, to go out back to the trolley.
No, he did. Well, what's funny is
there
I
was
got
a trolley out back.
I got home from that trip and April was like, you never believed it just happened. Cause I didn't tell her this story.
And you never will.
And I probably never will. Just because it doesn't, even the story doesn't make anybody feel happy. But so she's like, someone hit on me at the gas station. They asked me out to lunch. And I said, well, I'm married. And they said, we don't have to tell him. And she was like, so, you know, there's some interest out there still or something.
She's so funny.
And you know what? I go, maybe you shouldn't be wearing those dresses to sleep every night.
Is that what you said?
I should have.
That's great. I should have. Well, and you know what I said? And then I think we want to... that we want to sort of impart upon the 12 and a half. And the thing that you liked was that you said, I didn't tell her that just because she told me the other thing.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that I needed to tell her. Well, actually, someone hit on me, you know?
Yeah.
And I said to you, a lot of marriage is what you don't say.
That's the best.
And
that's
really
my
true.
Favorite part of our conversation.
It's not about lying.
It's what you don't say. Yeah.
It's not about lying at all. It's just you don't need to say everything.
Yeah. And we share everything. Well, maybe you shouldn't.
Yeah,
we
maybe
share
cut
everything,
it out.
Share everything with your ATM machine.
There. See you real soon.
Yeah.
Chase Bank.